I'm doing a mic check real quick. Are you happy with my mic check?
Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We open the whole thing up with big giant circles with the chiptune legacy. We're bringing 2017
in. First song of the year.
The right way. Sorry that we've been out for like the last 2 weeks, really. It was just one thing
for, like,
after
forever.
Another. Really have been. I wasn't going to do a show without you this time.
You did one without me?
Honestly, everybody else was sort of busy, so I couldn't find a replacement. Temporary replacement. But, like, that should be good for you. You shouldn't feel like you could be replaced. Anyway, this is the show where we drop nerd knowledge on you every... Well, with the exception of the last 2 weeks.
We try to every week.
Every Wednesday.
We make empty promises.
From 9 to 10 p.m. As far as we know, we're not moving out of this time slot. They couldn't pry. They had to pry these microphones out of our cold or recently getting colder dead hands.
Studio manager opens
door. Depending on when the event occurs.
Wow.
And that's not like they couldn't do it. That's just they would have to, or they'd
it
have
would
to.
It would be effort.
Yeah,
have to move the
schedule. Have you ever pried something out of cold, dead hands? It's
no.
not fun. It's
I'm
not
sorry
fun.
I'm so disturbed that you have.
My favorite spork. My favorite spork.
Wee.
This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff.
Nerd.
Geek stuff. Yes. We talk about things. Anything goes, really. Sherlock Holmes and Watson all the way up to...
Ooh, that new episode came out.
Yeah,
I need
did.
To check it.
It did. I need to watch.
No spoilers.
Actually, I think I need to catch up on the past season because I'm far behind.
I just want to know if they gave him a shirt that fits yet.
We, No, it's got to be tight.
Like, even this is like way too tight.
It's got to be tight. It's Benedict Cumberbatch or whatever. He's super nice. Anyway, we talk about everything from, you know, your geekdom, your board games, your video games, your super sci-fi nerddom, your fantasy stuff.
Tabletop that's
happening
out there.
Everything. We're gonna play a song for those guys out there.
We
got
how sweet.
half of the station. I'm assuming they're all part of the station, but we got
half
the station outside, right outside the KSLU studio. We're going to play some beefy in a little bit for them, but, we are going to actually we're going to play it now. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what we did last.
Leroy Jenkins.
I guess the last like 2 or 3 weeks after the song. This is Tabletop by Beefy. We'll catch you after the break on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
Always Red Bear.
That was Tabletop by Beefy Bear. We've been out for the studio of the studio for a while.
I was out for what? I think I did the first week of the break and maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so we haven't had a show the past 2 weeks.
Man,
that's
disappointing.
This is the first show of 2017. So what have you been doing the last 2 weeks? What have you been up to?
The last 2 weeks? Mostly fighting with Nintendo right now.
Yeah? why is that?
Because they released, they released their new accounts because Nintendo is terrible at online, if you don't know. Like anything to do with online purchases or digital things. And yeah, they now have like two services. But then apparently my new 3DS accidentally made it on a new account for it because the old one was linked to the old account. But then I can't figure out how to unlink it, so I can add this one to the new account. And then I'm not even sure if all the accounts are merged right. But there's like 3 accounts that all this involves. And I just want a friend code to add one of my friends over in California. But I want the right friend code. And I don't know how like a kid is supposed to be able to figure any of this out. Because I have a computer science degree and I have like 4 computers up. And it looks like I'm hacking the Matrix just to try to get everything together. So I've been doing that. Have played some Splatoon.
Even though Splatfest is over.
Yeah. It's the first time I've played since Splatfest was over. That's how broken my heart has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did do that, and I also pre-ordered the Switch.
Of course you did.
Yeah, of course I did.
We're actually going to talk about the Switch in our main segment.
Dude,
so
I am hyped for that.
Of
so
course
much
you are.
Hype. I mean, maybe they'll get digital right when I pay for it. Maybe.
Doubt it.
But it's Nintendo, so, you know. I am going to play my first Zelda game in a while. I played, the first 3?
Yeah, you said you were going to play through all of them.
Yeah.
That was a big, stupid lie.
It was? Well, okay, I got through the first one, which was painful. And let's see, what was the second one?
Link's Quest.
Yeah, that one was painful.
The Life of Link or Days of Our Linked Lives or something.
And then the Super Nintendo one. What one was that?
Link
to the Past was good.
It clearly didn't make much of an impact. You're like, what was the one? It was like Link in the Future.
Okay,
to the...
there's about a billion Zelda games.
I was like...
And like 50 million timelines.
There's like 12. There's like 12.
That's like a billion.
And there's only like
4 timelines.
I can't
count that on my fingers.
Okay.
You know where I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more than 10. I can't count it. It's infinite. So yeah, I played through that one. And then I just kind of let it go after that. So I'm going to pick up with the newest one. And it looks really pretty. I'll give them that. Like, yeah. I like the art style and everything. So we'll see if I actually enjoy the story. I have been playing some Final Fantasy 13, though, which is interesting. What?
Replace interesting with worthless.
I'm enjoying my time.
There's a reason it's only $5 on Steam.
The fight mechanic is weird. I'm not a fan of like the real-time turn-based. Well,
the fight mechanic is weird, and the game is objectively garbage. So if you can just assume
maybe
those
I just
two.
Like bad things, because I've been having a pretty good time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hater.
You can get all of them for $15.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's why I got it, because it was on Steam. Super cheap.
Lightning Returns? Really, she shouldn't have. Just go away forever.
Did you? Like, have you actually played them?
Yeah.
Okay, and they're that bad?
Yeah.
Wow. His hair's getting crazy.
Yeah, they look good. Like, they're very nice looking.
Yeah, they're
looking.
Very pretty. I mean, well, that's Final Fantasy's thing.
They're very nice looking,
anyway,
and I'm sure they inspired
I'm
some fantastic fan art and cosplay, but, I mean.
But, okay. Matt did not like them. I did also finally get 9 on PC. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah,
which I do like 9.
You get any farther in Kingdom Hearts?
Do what? Kingdom Hearts, I actually dropped that a while back, so I haven't really. Dropped that and started playing 15, actually.
Okay.
Final Fantasy 15.
All right. I'm not going to say you made a good decision, but at least you didn't drop that to play 13.
Dang. You're really bringing out the burns on 13.
Sorry, 13 is just bad.
Like, you really don't like 13.
Should have skipped it.
Okay. I will let you know how I think of it later. Jeez. Anyway, 15 is really good, so that's objectively good. And if you say otherwise, you can leave the studio now.
I mean,
now.
It's not a JRPG. People think it is, but it's not. It's just like a slightly more Japanese Grand Theft Auto that doesn't have cars and also is full of friendship.
So much friendship in
that's
that
fine.
Game.
That's fine. Bro-ship.
Of bro-ship. It's hardcore bromance, and I'm not going to say that I don't have like a billion fanfics in my head now.
Okay.
But, you know, probably can't go over those on the radio.
No.
Your turn. What'd you do?
Okay, so let's roll it back a little bit. My motorcycle, I ride a motorcycle, or rode a motorcycle. It got totaled.
Yeah.
Because
my car got totaled. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you did get a new car.
Yeah, sadly.
No, my bike got totaled. I put it in the shop, and they said, yeah, it's got water everywhere. It shouldn't. And the insurance said, hey, it's totaled. But it'll be okay. Like, I'm going to get some money back. It's like I leased a bike for $600 for the last 2 years.
That's not
so
bad at all.
Conveniently or inconveniently, it depends on how you look at it. My main desktop, my system's starting to give me some issues. Like I record videos because I teach, and a lot of my videos revolve around what I'm teaching people in class. Because sometimes it takes longer, and I'll make a video of it so that we cannot waste time in class. I was recording some videos over the weekend, and I noticed that my system started to just stop recording middle of the way through, and I think my CPU's dying.
Fun.
And I realized at that point, Kaby Lake just came out. That's the 700 or 7000 series.
Yeah.
Kaby Lake just came out. Cannon and Coffee Lake are for later this year. I am on, I don't even know if I was on Bravo. I'm on the 2600K, and we're at the 7600K.
Oh, wow, you still have that one?
I still have that. It's unlocked.
You got that? When did
like
you get
5 years
one?
Ago?
Yeah, wow.
6 years ago? I mean, it's definitely a...
I think we were roommates then, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a good system. It's been a really good system, but it's about time to do that upgrade thing. So, the crazy thing is like the new chipset and everything, you have to buy a new motherboard.
Oh, yeah.
DDR4 RAM's out, so you got to buy a new RAM. There's all this new storage stuff.
You have to buy a new computer altogether.
I'm excited.
Are you doing a PCI Express interface?
Yeah, I'm going to do PCI Express storage,
nice.
At least two or three of those, SATA for the boot drive, commodity big storage. It'll be on Techkazoo, which we're going to be picking back up now that the holidays are over with. We've spent time with friends and family and such, so we're done with that. We're going to go ahead and we're going to come back and start cultivating the online environment again. But I am going to be building a new computer soon. But I had to like lose the bike in order to get the funds more or less to do that.
But you got funds for computer stuff.
Yeah, and I like computers.
I mean, you didn't have a light bike, so it's okay.
No, right. Played more of Deus Ex Mankind Divided, getting a little farther in that. The game, I don't think I like the Dawn engine. The Dawn engine plays weird to me, and I don't know that I like it. I did do a really cool project over the break where I used 25 individually addressable LEDs. I arranged them around my 21x9 monitor, and then I programmatically split up and divided pieces of the edge of the screen into quadrants or sectors or whatever, and it averages the colors in that sector and splashes that on the background with the LEDs.
Right.
And it's super
nice.
It makes a really cool effect. It broadens out. It's especially good when you're playing a game like Doom with a lot of really bright colors, bright reds and oranges and yellows.
Those explosions look awesome.
Those explosions are really good. I'll get hit from the side and the entire side of my monitor will light up and splash against that. It's super, super nice. So I was really happy about that. The another thing that I was able to do over the break was I picked up and I started playing with the, I guess it's a PSP. But it's the PSP, but I'm not playing PSP games with it. I found a way to soft mod it to allow Super Nintendo games on it. And playing Illusions of Gaia on a PlayStation Portal or a PlayStation Vita is just super nice. It's got all the controls for it.
That actually seems like a perfect system for
it
that.
It really, really is. And until I'm pretty sure this year the PS Vita is going to die. Like, for real.
Did they not?
It's certainly not.
Like, said they're ending support.
They're not cultivating. Well, so they started stripping PS Vita support off of a lot of their websites. Pretty much everything except, like, I think the UK and the Japanese websites had lost support for it.
Yeah.
And it's
just.
That's
because Japan mobile is still really hot.
Right, right. So, I mean, I enjoy it for what it is. But, I mean, I probably won't ever buy another PlayStation Vita game for it. Now, PlayStation Plus is still releasing PSN titles for it for free. If you pay for it, you know, you'll get the two games a month or whatever for the platform. But it's just not really there. Picked up Little Big Planet 3. Played that a little bit. And then I did one other thing. Oh, Stardew Valley. More Stardew Valley, which is
fun.
I picked it up, started over, gave it an honest shot, and really, really enjoying the game. So really, really happy with my break. Did a lot of gaming.
Oh yeah, I left the country. I forgot about that.
You did leave the country.
Yeah, that was satellite internet is the worst.
Right?
I'm first world. You can't even game on that. It's terrible.
We're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about our main segment, which is mostly about the Switch, because we missed the reveal, but we're caught up to speed. We've let it digest. We're going to go over each individual piece and talk about it when we come back. This is GEEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was GEEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. It's not dead. It's only just beginning, really. You know what's great is that
man.
And I both, you know, growing up in.
I did.
In, well,
despite popular belief,
being,
I grew up.
Being a nerd or a geek in like the 90s and early 2000s was very different from being a geek right now. And
it wasn't as cool.
It's not like we had it rougher or whatever. It's not even about that. It's just so good to see like things that you love become more mainstream.
It is interesting.
Things like Comic-Con, like conventions in general, cosplay, right. Things like that aren't weird anymore. And they used to be really weird and not trendy.
Right, at all.
It's very easy to be like frustrated.
I do feel like people talk a lot about being judged for different things like that, but I'm like, not like it used to be.
Right. And I mean, okay, so there is this sort of, this cultural, like, they're not really into it. They're on the fringe. They're not into it like we're into it sort of thing. But I think that's a bad attitude to have. We shouldn't have the attitude of, you should just
have to be careful with that.
You know, you need to respect the fact that any press is good press, you know? It's like...
Right. Well, that's like the old argument of casual gamers versus hardcore gamers.
Right, no, you like to game.
Everyone's
you like
playing
everyone
games.
Likes
We're
what
having
you,
fun,
Everyone
right?
likes what you like. You know, if you like something, there's no reason you shouldn't have fun doing it, playing it, talking about it, reading about it, you know? I think what's great is that we finally have people like... you know, we've got scientists, celebrity scientists that are now trendy. We've got Will Wheaton. We've got Will Wheaton
right here in studio.
You know, oh, that'd be great.
Oh my god, I think I'm
so
just going to die right now.
We've got Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton.
We got an extra mic at least.
You know, we've got things like Big Bang Theory that, for better or for worse, are you know they help. They
normalize geek culture.
That's what they do. And so just you know understand that that's not all that geek culture is. But a lot of that is true.
It's an introduction for the mainstream public.
It is. Now we've got, thanks Zack Snyder, You know, thank Edgar Wright. Right? Thank everybody, you know, that sort of makes good film, makes geekdom consumable to people that otherwise wouldn't be open or even aware of it. And that's just, I don't know. I think it's a really quality time that we live in where we're able to interact with things like that. And it's not just us, just the people that like grew up with it, with comic books or whatever.
Right. It's the new generation being introduced to it. Star Wars is actually a great example of that.
Star Wars is fantastic.
Like, everyone loves Star Wars again.
It's generation spanning. Star Trek, I think, now is generation spanning. And it's super nice. It's just this super consumable media that that I think finally, and video games, like we leave video games out because they are a completely separate form of entertainment, but they can be super geeky. You know, at times they're just sort of this, I guess, like Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers is about the same. Every time you get a version of Super Mario Brothers, side-scrolly Super Mario Brothers, you know, but then you've got other games that have transcended. Mortal Kombat, for instance. Is Mortal Kombat brings families together. Not quite, but I mean, you know,
I didn't know more about your family.
Right, right. But anyway, that's not the main segment. Our main segment, of course, is the Nintendo Switch. It was demoed. We found out a few
all
things about
juicy
it.
Bits.
Yeah, about last week we saw a lot. So we're going to go through it again. You could look at Engadget, you could look at Kotaku, you could look at Tom's Hardware.
On the internet.
Yeah. Tons, Digital Insider, tons of information. We're going to go through our notes of what
we made. Nintendo.com/Switch.
So March 3rd.
is the day.
March 3rd, 2017 is the day. And $300 is the United States dollar price that you will pay. Now,
I've already paid my money. Yeah, I got the Switch, Zelda, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Okay, so you didn't pay $300 then. You paid like $450.
About $400.
Okay.
Well, about $400 because actually Amazon gave me, I think, a $30 discount.
Okay.
Like
all
randomly.
Right.
I'm like, sweet.
So
thanks,
Mario Kart
guys.
8 is a new Mario Kart.
8 exists on the Wii U. They're porting it with some new features to the Switch.
Okay.
And since I don't own that one for the Wii U, I'm like, well, I'll go ahead and grab it for this.
I'd be interested. We can look this up later, but I'd be interested to know what those new features are.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. The Wii U didn't look bad, per se.
No.
I think it played poorly, and it overall it will be much less of a console than, say, like the Wii. Like, GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
For all
the
its
Wii
good.
U
it's almost like every other.
It did.
It's almost every other console for Nintendo at this point. Like, the 64
it was, a bad
was great.
Release.
The GameCube was super underappreciated. But
the GameCube was awesome.
Objectively,
though,
it was not that good of a console. Like, it failed on so many levels. The Wii picked up the slack, and
but it
the
had
Wii
a good
U,
library.
The Wii U kind of dropped it, and now hopefully the Switch, which originally
they have a hard, they have a strong release coming out. I feel, and if they pull off the release, I feel that they can make this a successful console.
Let's see what we get. For $300, you get the console itself, which is the screen and the console. You get
the dock,
two Joy-Cons. Well, a Joy-Con.
It's a pair. Joy-Con pairing.
The Switch base. You get like the Joy-Con controller holder.
It's a battery holder. Yeah. So it does have a battery in there.
To sort of make it a little more like an Xbox controller or PlayStation controller.
Yeah, it has like little grips on it to make it more of a traditional controller.
You get the Joy-Con wrist straps so you don't
chunk it at your TV because they learned that with the original Wii.
You get a power adapter. Thanks for giving us a power adapter with a console. Looking at you, DS, 3DS. And then, of course, we get
had at least 50.
We get an HDMI cable. Also, thanks for sticking with HDMI, Nintendo. It's really great of you, you know. I feel like it's dumb.
What?
Well, because the Wii wasn't digital. The Wii wasn't HD.
Oh, the original Wii?
The original Wii.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, in a land where, you know, the GameCube and the PlayStation 2 were competitors. And then the PS3 and the Wii were competitors. And I'm like, why didn't you have HDMI? Why?
They apologize.
Explain. So anyway.
The Wii U solved that.
So the idea behind the Switch, in case you've just been living under a rock, or you're not into Nintendo consoles, because I don't blame you.
Hey,
the
you
Switch,
nostalgia like
the
me.
Switch is deemed as like a hybrid console. It's a handheld and a set-top box sort of gaming console where you want to play on your TV. You push the toast down. You push the screen into the dock, and you get the Joy-Con controllers, and you play on the screen or whatever. I believe at this point it's 1080p.
1080p in the dock, 720p on the monitor.
Right, so if you want to do the handheld version, you hit the button, the toast is done, it comes up, you connect the Joy-Con controllers
I love your analogy.
To it, and it effectively almost becomes like the Wii U big remote. The big U.
Yeah, it looks like the Wii U gamepad.
It's almost the exact same
except
size.
Except a little bit more sleeker.
Yeah, it does. It looks like an NVIDIA tablet with controllers on it.
Oh, it is. Turns out.
Well, turns out.
Down-clock Tegra.
So that's nice, I guess. The cool thing is that you don't need to have the Joy-Con controllers connected to it to play with it. In fact, you can have a little kickstand on the thing, kind of prop it up, and you can race against people and play against people.
And I've been watching some bloggers talk about having the Joy-Cons disconnected.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying they actually prefer that to having a controller that you... Because you get to move your hands. You can, like, just rest them. I just moved away from the mic and such. And they say it's a really more natural way to play.
I can imagine that's true.
It seems so weird to me because I'm used to, like, holding a controller in front of me with my hands close together.
The Joy-Con... So, a lot of the games that we've been seeing that you play on the console without the Joy-Con connected. So typically two-player games because otherwise there's no reason to really play. I mean, I guess you could.
That's what I've seen a lot of the bloggers doing is they take it off and put them on their wrist and just play like that.
You could play like that, and I guess you get more buttons because there's buttons on the inside. But a lot of the
games... I imagine that all those buttons are going to be used in every game.
No, of course not. There's a lot of games that we've been seeing, like Mario and everything, that... You only have like four buttons anyway.
Right.
And the controller, so you take the Joy-Con and you turn it, and you're able to use it sort of like a mini controller, like a regular Nintendo controller in a way.
Yeah.
And it honestly...
More like the original Wii controllers.
Well, so I would say that, but the Joy-Con controllers are only about like 4 inches tall.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
and like
smaller.
An inch and a half wide or across. So whenever you turn it, the joysticks are more in the middle than they are on the side or on the top or the bottom. They're not centered, but they're close to it. So whenever you turn it around, it's hard. It looks like it's difficult to play with. Like it looks like you're holding it with like the back of your hand, and then you've got your thumbs really close together for the buttons and the joystick. It's going to be one of those things where I'm going to definitely have to like try it before I buy it, if I even buy it.
I'll definitely be bringing it over.
I bought the Wii. I wanted to buy the Wii U, but currently Switch.
If you had the Wii, there was no reason to buy a Wii U.
The Switch is going to release for the same price that the Wii U is right now.
Right.
Think about that. We've already talked about it. I'm not going to think about it.
We've spent a whole show
on that. You were talking about the online service that they're coming out as you die.
Yeah, sorry.
We're talking about the online service. So like they were switching around from the old service to the new service.
Causing me all kinds of headaches.
That new service is going the way of PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold. You will have to pay for it if you want to continue to play online past the entry level.
And here's another interesting thing. I don't know if your notes have this yet. They're going to enable voice chat, but it's not going to be through the console. It's going to be through an app on your smartphone. So it's an interesting idea.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I haven't talked about that yet. I haven't seen it yet.
You're going to get an app on your smartphone, and that's going to enable voice chat and things like Splatoon and such like that.
So they're offloading it into like voice over IP, but they're doing it via
I'm interested to see what all they do with that app, though. I'm not sure what all is going to happen.
I don't know that Nintendo's...
I feel like it needs to be more than
Nintendo's
just voice.
Never really done mobile apps. They did Run Mario or Mario Run or whatever.
Right. That's why I'm interested to see what happens, because, I mean, it has to be more than just voice, or what's the point?
Yeah, I mean,
why can't I just do it on the controller?
The PlayStation has a series of companion apps for games, and even the PlayStation app for the PlayStation itself, so you can interact with the PlayStation in a limited way. I don't know if the Xbox has one. I'm sure they do because Windows, but...
you have to have a Windows phone.
That would be hilarious. Well, all nine people out there. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. They are saying that as far as the online world, no Street Pass, absolutely no Miiverse.
Yeah, which I don't understand.
They're just abandoning it. The social network thing that they tried, was an experiment,
Street Pass
and it's gone.
Is so great. But they're also not cutting off the 3DS line.
So that's the thing.
That's really weird.
It's not replaced. They said it's not going to replace the Wii U and that it's not going to replace the 3DS.
Right.
And my question is, you're hybridizing and you're merging things together.
I feel like this is an experiment. They don't want to dedicate to it yet.
I guess not, but...
I feel the next release is probably going to be that's where they're going to make their decisions.
See, that's going to really frustrate me, especially if... It's going to have to be frontwards compatible or backwards compatible with the Switch, whatever the Switch 2 or Switch XDX or Switch HD or whatever. And maybe they're doing that because, I mean, we're going to talk about the hardware in a minute, but maybe that's what they're doing. They're prepping for a full rewrite, and this is just that stair step away from disc media. They haven't been doing disc media with any of their mobile, but they still have discs on the Wii U.
They did switch to cartridges, just like the 3DS has.
Right.
Which I do like.
It's great.
And it has a door over the freaking ejector slot. So what happened to me with Pokemon doesn't happen with you.
You just push it and it pops open?
Yeah, I beat the final on the final boss on Pokemon and it has this huge cutscene and then it ejected in the middle of the cutscene.
Oh, well.
So I have to refight that guy again.
You see, if it was a disc thing, it'd be okay. Because it would have cached it. But
yeah, well,
you'd had a load time. I guess it's a small price to pay, right? Let's talk about the hardware of the Switch. So it has a 6.2-inch diagonal. That's how screen
right.
You know, width is displayed. 6.2-inch display at 720p. So no 1080p, no 4K, no 2K, nothing
like that. I
agree.
I would have liked to see 1080p on it because I feel like that would be a good standard for them to stick with. But
yeah,
I think they're probably sacrificing pixels for battery power also.
I don't know. I mean, I know some pretty – our higher-end smartphones have,
well, this one.
Have pretty decent graphical capabilities. And, you know, yeah, like it seems like the screen is – that's a very high density. That's probably more than 1080p screen. It's
cracked in three places.
Well, that means it's several 1080p screens. But no, so at 720p, capacitive touch. So the good touch.
So yeah, good touch. At glass, not bad touch.
At 720p resolution, we're going to see in between about 2.5 and 6 hours of battery life.
Which is a huge range.
So 6 hours is if it's on the lowest brightness and doing absolutely nothing except literally nothing, just being on.
Well, I also feel like there's going to be a huge difference between if you're playing Super Mario Brothers or if you're playing the new Zelda.
Right. So in the article I'm reading, they're referencing the new Zelda. That's the one that we've only seen because that's going to be a launch title.
Oh, yeah, that's the big launch title, which is a good launch title.
It can be played for 3 hours on a single charge. So you can charge it while it's playing. Yeah. And
it uses USB Type-C.
USB-C, which is nice.
Which I love. And so it'll charge freaking fast, too, so that's great.
I mean, it's plugged in, whatever. As far as how much internal memory you have, 32 gigs. Which
I was a little upset about.
Well, so whenever you're cutting costs, and again, like I'm not saying that is actually an excuse, but whenever you're cutting costs, you look for every possible way. 32 gigs, 64 gigs, or 128 gigs, that probably was a decision that was made because they're putting really fast flash storage in there.
And I'll tell you why it upset me, though. Because I was hoping with this console, Nintendo was going to move to full digital and then be able
to
support.
No, they want
all that.
You to buy the cartridges.
But that means that the cartridge is going to still be hanging out, and then I'm worried about the digital store because of this, and I see where their mentalities lie.
So the idea, and it was been like this for a while, the idea behind disc was that if you go to discs can get destroyed, and people want to play their games, so they're going to buy replacements. Cartridges, albeit more expensive to produce, last a lot longer.
True.
But you can't really charge $70 for Zelda, for a regular version of Zelda, because you can get, you know, most games are $60 or $50 or $40.
Right.
You know, so it's a weird hardware. It's a weird model to follow that unless they are banking on people taking this with them everywhere they go and then maybe buying accessory pieces like cartridge holders or...
Which, I mean, I'm sure is what they're planning
like
on.
Like some sleeve for the Switch that can both fit inside the dock and holds four games or something, and fits around the Joy-Cons. Like, there's got to be some accessory mentality that people need to accessorize this thing so that it becomes a little more useful.
Yeah. Well, that you know? Is pretty well ingrained in Nintendo culture.
To accessorize?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing is, and this is sort of what I think they decided to do, 32 gigabytes on board, you can put a micro SD card in there.
Right.
And the fast one. So, I mean, I imagine you could add for $100, add 128 gigs, or for $50, add 128 gigs of storage.
I think it maxed out, what, like 256 or something?
Right now, and it's very expensive to do that, to get the fast one, but I mean, you could do it, which means that this thing isn't just locked into to 32 gigabytes.
So, I mean, yeah, there is a decent amount of storage you can add, and I have 128 gig decent card lying around, so that's what I'm going to be doing.
Right. So, onto the controllers. They call them the Joy-Cons. It's the Joy controllers, whatever, Nintendo.
Yay, Nintendo.
You can get the Pro controller for $70, $69.99.
Yeah, the controllers are a little pricey, I thought.
And then a second set of Joy-Cons for $80.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
It's I don't understand. Well, hold on. So this article is a little misleading. It says You can use the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller, which is $70, a second set of Joy-Cons for $80, or an individual Joy... Oh, that's easy. So one
yeah,
by itself.
You can give someone, yeah.
Oh, I guess they're two of them. They just kind of
flip upside down. They come in pairs.
I see. So they're the exact same thing. You just get two of them.
Right.
I see. Okay. So for $50 each, $80 as a pair. Well, that's a savings of $20.
Ooh-wee.
Damn it, Bear. I could do some math. So, yeah. On the Joy-Cons, it looks like you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You get 10 buttons on it, as well as a stick, like a joystick. And each of them have a motion camera.
Yes.
Which is, you've likened it to Elite Motion.
Yeah, it's like they strapped Elite Motion onto the back of it.
It's really nice to see that, you know, they were showing a demo of Rock, Paper, Scissors. It's neat to think about what developers can do with that.
And this is going to be the key, is getting developers to develop for it.
Yeah. Nintendo's had a really rough time with getting non-first-party support on their consoles. Now, Bethesda's already said, hey, we're doing Skyrim for this thing.
So that's a good partnership there.
Right, but so far we've seen largely just first-party titles. And, Zelda's big. Zelda's a big deal.
Nintendo.
Zelda's a big deal. And they got this 1-2 Switch thing, which is like a series of little
I'm surprised they didn't include that.
Sure.
Remember Wii Sports just came with the Wii?
That's another thing. I want to know if this is like... like a mini game or a set of mini games that you can digitally get and it'll just be free?
No, it's not.
It's
you have
not.
To purchase it.
Yeah, so I don't
it's
know.
It's cheaper than most games, but it's not free.
I don't know. Once you switch, it looks like a series of like just little short party-like games. Again, Nintendo has this very, I'm going to say strange or weird, but it's not in like a negative connotation. It's just a very Japanese mindset. And I don't know what their market is. I mean, obviously their market is to be as consumable by as many people as possible, but I don't know how they, like, in their marketing decisions, like, I don't know how they're making those decisions to get to this. Because I don't know that this is... the commercial is kind of all over the place.
The commercial is really spastic.
It's spastic, and I
was actually reading some guy talking about who they need to target. And I think a mistake they've made a lot with, like, the Wii U and such, well, besides it not needing to exist... was that they keep targeting the kids, the youngest generation, and like hardcore going after the kids. The problem is the market for Nintendo is the millennials who grew up with Nintendo, so they have to appeal to us.
Well, seems like they've been missing that. They've been missing it because, and I don't speak for millennials, but it seems like whenever you play a game and you want to play the next version of game, like you want to grow up, so to speak, it used to be like the Super Nintendo had tons of mature games on them, like games like Contra, games like, or the next version of Contra, you know, New Mortal Kombat.
Well,
just
even
tons
family friendly games are okay. You just need to market towards us, not necessarily get kids, you know, market. Yeah. But like,
well, kids are
some of their ad campaigns over the past few years. It's been pretty.
There are always
going to
be
terrible
kids. Like kids are always going to like exist, but they're not going to be kids
unless
forever.
They don't.
You know, so you got to figure that out. Now they are doing some things like before. Things were region locked. This isn't going to be region locked,
which is an awesome move.
They do have
your actual Japanese games.
They do have 1-2 Switch, which is an exclusive. Arms, which is another exclusive. Where I think I heard a commentator say it's like the next version of Punch Out, where effectively you have like little extendable boxing gloves on your character, and you jump around and you throw the. You know, throw the controller, but I mean, you throw your fist at the other person. Splatoon 2, and we've got an interesting looking Mario. It's called Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes,
where Mario, in all his Mario-ness. Cartooniness, you know, very very unreal cartooniness. Not Bob Hoskins. Mario's only like 25 years old, by the way. In canon, he's only like 25.
Oh.
He looks much older, but yeah, only 25.
I'm older than Mario?
He's seen running
weird.
Through like a realistic street, jump roping with
next
some
to actual
people,
actually.
Yeah, like people
he's
that,
like this little tiny dude is hilarious.
People that don't look like they are fake, like they're more real than Mario is. His hat has eyes, like it's alive, and he can throw it out and jump on it, throw it out and catch it, and you know, his hat's becoming a game mechanic, which honestly is way better than the little stupid water pack that he had in Mario Sunshine.
Right.
So that's a nice exclusive. We're getting another Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Speaking of more mature things.
I played Xenoblades. It's one of my favorite games for the Wii, the original Wii. And I've got to say, like, I really liked how Monster Hunter and like original JRPG it was. It's really, really good. I don't think I ever beat it because, as with most JRPGs, it's like 80 hours long.
Right.
But it was a beautiful game on the Wii. And I'm saying that the Wii didn't have a lot of very pretty games just because it didn't ship in HD. Like, you can get it to HD, but it didn't ship in HD. They've got Skyrim coming up, which is super nice. I'm excited
that they have the pairing.
I'm glad that they have Skyrim coming to it, but it's one of those things where it's like, if there is going to be any game series that people have continued to play since 2007 when it came out, we're now 7 years later, people are still playing Skyrim because of the mods and because of the special edition or definitive edition. You know, because they're still playing it, like, that's a real possibility it might break other people into the Wii. Now, it'd be interesting to see Fallout. It'd be interesting to see a lot of games
from Fallout,
Bethesda on the... It'd be interesting to see Doom. Doom is technically its ID, but it's produced by Bethesda as well.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see those games on the Wii or on the Switch, but just because one game's on there doesn't mean more games are going to follow.
No, not at all.
The Wii and the Wii U have had a couple mature-themed games, and it just...
on how hard it is to develop for.
They are one-offs. Fire Emblem Warriors, a new Shin Megami Tensei game, and Octopath Traveler, which is like a Final Fantasy-looking pixely art. Well, I say pixel art, like a 16 or a 32-bit JRPG-looking thing, which is really, really nice. Now, we are getting other third-party games, right? We're getting Rayman Legends, I Am Setsuna, Skylanders Imaginators, Nobunaga's Ambition, Puyo Puyo, Tetris, Disgaea, Spelunker, Has-Been Heroes, Minecraft Story Mode, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, which is going to come out with another title, and then Farming Simulator. Tons of really cool things.
Minecraft, actually, I think, is announced.
Minecraft Story Mode.
Story Mode.
Now, it'd be really dumb to not capitalize, put Minecraft on it. But,
right.
And, of course, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, looking great. Super Mario Kart Deluxe 8 or whatever, which is
looking
great.
Which is shiny.
There's a lot of really cool stuff. Sonic Mania, Minecraft. I'm sure Street Fighter's been announced. Lots of stuff. We actually have the... So on launch, you're going to see 1-2 Switch, Super Bomberman, Skylanders, Just Dance, and The Legend of Zelda. In March, a few others. April is going to see Mario Kart 8, so we're not going to see it at launch.
No.
In the spring, we'll get ARMS. In the summer, we'll get Rime and Splatoon 2. Fall 2017, so before the end of 2017.
Splatoon 2 was announced for December.
They're saying summer 2017 right now, but that may have gotten pushed back.
Okay.
I know holiday is going to be Mario Odyssey. And then sometime in 2017, we're getting Street Fighter 2 Ultra, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Minecraft, FIFA, Disgaea 5, NBA 2, blah, 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 just a bunch of stuff.
They have titles lined
that's
up.
That's our little piece on. Yeah, I bet you are.
I am so ready. March 3rd.
We're going to cut to a song. We'll come back into the show. This is Save World, Get Girl by iFi Dragons. Yay. Catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, but like every week, we're out of time, pretty much.
Man, it happens.
It happens. That
time's up.
Was
Clock's running down.
Save World, Get Girl by iFight Dragons. Listen, hey, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
You know, I realized something. We've been out of this for like 2 weeks. We totally forgot to mention the website at the very beginning of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
You didn't notice it.
Oh, my goodness.
You didn't notice it. It's like the one thing.
The one thing.
That you do.
It's my thing.
Yeah. So we have a website. It's where we have all of our news, reviews, our audio. I actually caught up where I'm now to the previous year's show, one.
I still need to get my login.
And then this one. That is where we keep all of our stuff online. Bear, what is the website?
Go to exppoints.com. Remember, double tap the B.
We're also on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, YouTube, Steam community, just tons of stuff. Go to exppoints.com/social and you can check out our landing page for that. We also have PayPal and Patreon if you would donate to the show.
We'll do things for you.
Thank you very much. PayPal is a direct donation. Patreon is you get something in return. It's pretty much our pride. For $5, we'll do almost anything. I mean, there are limits, but...
We'll do a lot, though.
You don't know what they are, and I guess
right
now...
I can't play Never Have I Ever.
We don't know what they are either. We also are streamable on iTunes, Stitcher, and directly from the site. So if you want to podcast us or whatever, we're on Google Play Music Podcast. We're on Spotify Podcast. We're on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher for you Android users out there. So, I mean... You know, there's really no excuse.
Yeah.
Now, we do have some game servers. They are changing. Our big one is Space Engineers right now, but we do have a Starbound. I'm thinking, like, I want to do another server, but I don't know why. We tried Ark in the past, and Ark's just such a brutal game.
Yeah.
It's a good game. It's just like, we don't need another realistic Minecraft with dinosaurs. I feel like that's
right.
Like a
That's good analogy.
That's what it is. But yeah. I don't know that
we'll come up with something.
No one was ever there. I think we have Unreal 2K4. We had some Gary's Mod
servers. Oh, we still have Unreal. I didn't realize we still had Unreal up.
No one ever gets in it. So yeah. I take it down every now and then.
We should just look at all our servers and decide.
Now, Minecraft has always been a thing, and I've constantly been rebuilding that one to work with Spigot, which is a nice version of it. So there's that. Anyway.
Sweet.
We will be back next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m., but we got to go now. We're going to leave you with three songs. Three songs.
Three whole songs.
Now Hiring, featuring Save for the Dark Lord by Dr. Awkward. We're going to then go to Light Up the Night by the Proto Men. They had a 60-minute sort of movie for Light Up the Night. Really, really good. Check it out. Light Up the Night by the Proto Men. And then end out the whole thing with an oldie but a goodie, Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Check us next week and check us out online. We will see you guys later. You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.